Very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, July the 19th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us. From Washington, this is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, 19 young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs are set to leave the country for the Global Economic Summit hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Nairobi, Kenya at the end of the week.
What we would ask if I were to get that opportunity is to say, as Zimbabweans, we appreciate the support that has already been given so far to the people of Zimbabwe through the various aid initiatives that the government of the U.S. has been extending over the years.
The head of TechZim, a local technology company, says the harsh economic environment provides an ideal environment to utilize the opportunity offered by the availability of internet for business.
Internet is actually one of the biggest opportunities in an economy that is struggling, because unlike other physical things that people have to buy or people have to invest in and have all this money that is needed before they start a business, with the internet, all you really need is an internet connection, maybe a laptop, and the desire and commitment to solve a problem that is around you.
And some residents of Guruve in Mashonaland Central say the food situation in the area is dire this season, and efforts to tend to vending as an income earner are being frustrated by local authorities.
My name is Kobin Mkandauka. I'm from Guruve and Chumbipoos. The situation in Guruve this year, when it comes to food, the situation is not great anything in terms of food due to shortage of rainfall.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Nineteen young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs are set to leave the country this Thursday for the Global Economic Summit hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Nairobi, Kenya at the end of the week. The co-founder of Road Rules, a mobile app that has been set up to assist drivers in acquiring their learner's licenses, Tawanda Chikosi, says he feels honored to be part of the young people that have been chosen for this summit. Chikosi tells us more on the issue.
Just like everybody else who has represented his country, there's an element and a feeling of being immensely proud to be one of the young people to be chosen to represent the country. Personally, I think it is an opportunity to learn. Zimbabwe is so far away from the action in terms of entrepreneurial startups and the support ecosystems that are being given in East Africa as well as in West Africa. So we feel like we are a bit behind in terms of mechanisms, support systems, as well as systems operationally. So getting there is a moment where you get to mix and mingle with the best talent that has been selected from an entrepreneurial field to attend. More importantly, you get an opportunity to tell the Zimbabwean story from our own perspective, rather than have other people out there with our own agendas, with their own view, and tell the Zimbabwean story. We now have an opportunity to go and tell and be brand ambassadors for brand Zimbabwe.
If you were to be given an opportunity to address President Barack Obama or one of the 19 participants, what is your message? What are you going to be asking as Zimbabwe?
What we would ask if I were to get that opportunity is to say, as Zimbabweans, we appreciate the support that has already been given so far to the people of Zimbabwe through the various aid initiatives that the government of the U.S. has been extending over the years. But what we would really want is we would really want to see more trade than aid. The sustainable development of Zimbabwe, SADC, as well as Africa as a region, is not going to be at all based on aid. It has to be based on trade and sustainable development. So we would want to see more liberal engagement with Zimbabwe on the trade aspect and trying to also assist the local ecosystem of startup companies and entrepreneurship that is starting up, not only to the 19 that have been selected and been brought back, but also to the majority of the people within the country. So more trade and more trade than aid.
And when are you expected to leave Harare for Kenya?
We are planning on leaving Harare on Thursday because we also have to prepare ourselves. We are meeting as a group on Wednesday for pre-departure orientation, advice and guidance from our local embassy, which has been very supportive and helpful to us as a team of local entrepreneurs that have been chosen to attend this prestigious Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Kenya.
That was Tawanda Chikosi, the co-founder of Road Rules in Harare, one of the 19 participants that will be joining President Barack Obama in Kenya at the end of this week. And the head of TechZim, a local technology company, says the harsh economic environment provides a conducive environment to utilize the opportunity offered by the availability of the internet for business. Limbikani Makani, the CEO of TechZim, tells us more on a conference his organization hosted in Harare on Friday to discuss the issue.
So the event was the Zimbabwe Broadband Forum. It's the third time we're doing it. Really, we bring internet innovators from around Africa. We brought Mark Eason from Nigeria, we brought Emma Kay from South Africa, another guy from Kenya, and we discuss the opportunity of the internet. What can people do in terms of deriving value from the internet other than just being consumers? They have to build businesses on the internet, and those opportunities, how to do it, is what we're discussing at this event.
Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that came up by Zimbabweans who are using the internet for business. What were their concerns?
The big concern right now is that we are arguing and haggling about small things that do not enable us to be innovative on the internet. We are talking about right now infrastructure sharing in Zimbabwe is a big thing. We're arguing, you know, who gets that. So it's about let's share things that are there without realizing that there is an opportunity to build. And that opportunity for us is the most amazing thing that we want to discover, which is why we're bringing young innovators from other countries to share their experiences and to say, let's not talk at the level of stuff that we can't change, like networks, like those things. Let's talk about how we can use content, how we can do e-commerce on these platforms. So small-minded thinking is one big challenge that we saw here.
Moving forward, if there's somebody listening out there and asking the question, okay, how can I maximize the use of the internet to make business in an economy that is really struggling right now, what would be your advice?
Internet is actually one of the biggest opportunities in an economy that is struggling because unlike other physical things that people have to buy or people have to invest in and have all this money that is needed before they start a business, with the internet, all you really need is an internet connection, maybe a laptop, and the desire and commitment to solve a problem that is around you. And anyone can do that. This is unlike mining, this is unlike agriculture, or this is unlike any other business where sometimes you need your father to be connected, your father to be rich, to have lots of capital or to have all those barriers that prevent ordinary people from accessing the opportunity. So actually, this is the best time to access the opportunity. In terms of how, I would encourage everyone to think about how they can use the internet to learn. Because on the internet, the knowledge is available to everyone. How they can use the internet to learn and how they can apply those knowledge to solve a problem that is around them. So we had someone from Nigeria that is doing an online hotel booking service, for example. And that is one clear case, even in Zimbabwe, where it's a problem. And that problem can be solved by the internet. We have a lot of content companies around Africa. Again, in Zimbabwe, content is a problem. And those are the kind of problems that can be solved by the internet. And anyone can do it.
That was Limbikani Makani, the CEO of TechZim in Harare. Some residents of Guruve in Mashonaland Central say the food situation in their area is very dire this season, and efforts to tend to vending as an income earner are being frustrated by local authorities. We hear more from one of the Guruve residents on the issue.
My name is Kelvin Mkandauka. I'm from Guruve and Fumbi Pools. The situation in Guruve this year, when it comes to food, the situation is not great anything in terms of food due to shortage of rainfall.
So how are you surviving day to day?
Right now, a lot of people are going to gardening, mostly gardening of vegetables for selling in terms of getting something to eat. Most of the areas in Gurugwe this year, the only crop that gives us cake is the cotton, and the prices are very low. People are not getting much money to buy food. When it comes to business, nothing is moving. There is no cash.
What about the gardening that you spoke about? Are you able to sell your wares in Gurugwe when we look at the problem between vendors and the local authorities in different areas throughout the country?
Talking for our area right now, where we are located is very far from the main township, of which most of the people who are supposed to buy our goods are not able to reach our place, causing that a lot of people are traveling in the areas which are not wanted by the local authorities, leading for them to be chased away from those places.
But how do you see this situation being resolved?
One time we've tried to talk to the local authorities. I'm a member of the CHEA. I think if you know the CHEA, Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economic Association. Went to the local authorities' offices. We talked to them, but they are refusing vendors to come into the main growth point. They are saying it is not allowed by the local authorities from the province.
Tell us a little bit about your family. How big is your family and how much do you need monthly to survive?
I've got three children. Altogether, we are five, me, my three children, and my wife.
So how much do you need per month to survive?
A month, I need about $400 for me to get a data living. But I'm failing because there is no cash in our area. I'm just trying if I get maize to support my children for them to get only father, not much more than father.
So what kind of work are you doing yourself and how much do you make per month?
Right now I'm a vendor, but at my workplace I'm getting less than $15 a day, of which to calculate the profit of my goods is about $3 to $4 on daily living, of which on my daily living I need more than that money for me to survive.
And you talked about people surviving also on cotton.
I think right now what is on the ground means that cotton is no longer recognized in our country. What's getting 30 cents, if you calculate the inputs which were given, they were very expensive according. And now the price which we are selling the cotton is R3. It is very little. People are not getting anything. Because most of the cotton farmers have taken input from the cotton company, of which right now what they are getting, if you compare to the credit which they are given by the companies, they are getting nothing to take home.
That was Kelvin Musandauka, a resident of Gurugwe, speaking about the situation in his area. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Brian Geza of Rishamiso Arts, currently in Rwanda on internship and recently participating in the Ubumundu Arts Festival. Brian, tell me a little bit more about this festival. What is it about?
Actually, I was part of the organizing team for Ubumundu Arts Festival. And it's a festival that focuses on issues that affect humanity and created for humanity. I'm here under the Mandela Washington Fellowship, a brainchild of President Barack Obama and the African Leaders Initiative, as an intern with Mashirika in the campus.
How has the process been for you?
It's been an interesting challenge. And with my director, Hope Azeda, she had a working woman and also a visionary who doesn't believe in the eye but is a wee player, a team player. She brought me on board upon arrival, though she had already done the main documents that we needed, the proposal. It was a brainchild. But because of my technical and stage plus choreographic experience, they needed someone with those skills. So because I've had previous experience working with festivals such as Haifa on technical and stage issues as well as choreographic, and also working on events, big events in Zimbabwe, that has helped me not to face a lot of challenges, but rather overcome a lot of challenges that way along the way. Some of the challenges to mention are, you know, cultural differences. I'm coming from a culture that's totally different from where I am now.
And I had a chance to check out the website for this festival, and it's very interesting as what you're talking about here, which is fostering communication relations through art. Can you talk about that?
As you know, Rwanda experienced genocide in 1994, and there's been efforts by all sectors of society. This is from government, civic, even just the communities, fostering relations amongst the two societies, that the ones that were perpetrators and they affected. So us played a very critical role in being a tool for the healing process in this country. So this festival came in to bring a bigger leap in that process, to open up a bigger avenue by allowing other international artists, international companies, especially from countries that have faced similar events in the past. So it was a matter of these countries coming in to share how they use art as a tool for fostering these relations in communities, and as a tool for healing, and above all, as a tool to bring hope to societies that are still in pursuit of. So it's been a good experience, considering the turnout of the audiences, where the location of the festival was. It's a memorial center, and there are more than 250,000 people buried in that place. So the culture associated within that area is something to do with about respecting the ones who have passed on and who have been buried there. But because of the festival, it's kept in the right direction to bring entertainment to the hearts of the bereaving people, but at the same time, passing messages of hope, goodwill, and in the name of humanity, that I can say, yes.
And of course, Brian, back home, can you talk about how arts has really helped to evolve the young kids that you work with, the people that you interact with daily?
It's one youth at a time. Because if I'm to say, really, we've changed, we're changing lives of youth, it's very challenging, number one, considering the brain drain that's coming with the current economic, social climate in Zimbabwe, as we all know, the challenges that are being faced. So the program has been a success over the years, but in the past months, we've had challenges now, especially the last 2 to 3 months, whereby there's a drop in the youth because a lot are now crossing the borders looking for greener pastures, thus affecting the growth of the arts and culture sector in Zimbabwe. The few that we've remained, this year we've had some who've been taken into big companies. For example, some have been taken enrolled into Tumbuka Dance Company, and already we've created employment and sustainability in those few who made it. But others who are not patient enough, they took to the borders, crossed the borders into other countries, of which I don't feel for them, but I am part of them, which is more painful, knowing that I've invested in arts and culture, but at the end of the day, if it can't bring food on the table, we'll continue to have this exodus. So arts and culture did play an important role in the development of youth in Zimbabwe, but there is no job market for them.
And of course, what's your message to those that, you know, have moved on to try to find some sustainability for their personal lives?
Anduta continua, that's what I can say. I don't have much words to lie or say. Anduta continua, the struggle continues.
Brian, as usual, I do thank you for joining me on the Youth Forum.
Likewise, Karenda. Pleasure is all mine.
That was Brian Geza, Artistic Director of Jishamiso Arts, currently in Rwanda, interning with Mashirika Company. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
And now to recap today's top stories. 19 young Zimbabwean entrepreneurs are set to leave the country this Thursday for the Global Economic Summit hosted by U.S. President Barack Obama in Nairobi, Kenya at the end of the week. And the head of TechZim, a local technology company, says the harsh economic environment provides a conducive environment to utilize the opportunity offered by the availability of internet for business. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, July the 19th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.